that's about ready to become thick grass. And what's the key verse in the whole Bible that we studied last week?
This is a text.
This is a text. This is a real thing. This is not a recording.
All right, the key verse in the whole Bible.
I wrote that up there a long time ago and got the race somehow or another.
It's in the book of Ephesians, and I want to know about the Ephesian letter. What is it?
Okay, it's a circular letter. It was sent out from the church at Ephesus. They have copied it there and sent it to other churches. And if you look in your Bible, in terms of the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, in your study Bible, 1:11 and 12.
Okay, but turn in your Bible, and does it say anything about to the church in Ephesus? Let's see here. Remember, I took my Bible around last week and showed you where in Ephesus is in parentheses. Ed, what do you have? You have a Scopio, don't you? What does it say anything about in Ephesus there? Is that in brackets or anything in your Bible? Anyway, if you want to cut it in brackets, originally, let me read this letter to you in original language, and let me show you a beautiful introduction that Paul writes. We'll read it in Greek and then translate it for you. Paulos apostolos Christou Jesu dies elemathos theou, tois hagios tois ousen in Ephesou, in brackets, by the way, kai Christois in Christou Jesu. Now it says, Paulus, one sent out with authority of Christ, belonging to Christ, apostle, word apostle.
What I do with my skull, man,
I even brought it. There it is.
Apostello. Our word apostle comes right out of that. And that means, this means to send with a purpose or authority. And this means from. That's what apostle means. One sent with authority or with a purpose. And it means more than just being sent out. An apostle was a very important person, even in Greek literature. An apostle was someone with authority that went on a mission for a purpose. And of course, we know that apostles were sent out. They were a gift in the churches. What was the first gift placed in the churches? We're going to study the gift in the church later. But what is the first gift that was placed in the church? What? Apostles. It was the first gift placed in the church. It was a gift. There aren't any apostles today. With the completion of the New Testament, all the gifts passed away. And if you want to get technical about it, even John ceased from being an apostle when he penned the last word in the book of Revelation. If you get technical about it. But it means someone sent with authority for a purpose. What was the purpose of the apostles? To teach and epidomai, that's the Greek word, it means to build up, to dome up the churches. When you put a roof on a house, you can build a house and put walls around it. But if you don't put a roof on it, what happens to it? You get real wet. You get real wet, don't you? You have no protection. And the apostles were sent to the churches to be a dome, to build them up, to make them strong. So that no matter what it is, the causes of the Antichrist, that Paul said were already there, James said were already there, that John said were already there, the Antichrist, that will mow down the flesh, so they will be strong enough to stand against the wiles of the devil and the Antichrist and all things. Paul talked about the wile of the evil one here in the book of Ephesians 7.
He says here, Paulos Apostolos. Paul, a little fellow, by the way, that's what his name means. Paul, a little fellow, sent with the authority of Christ Jesus. Not just any Christ. Many people called themselves Christ back then, didn't they? There were many false Christs. But this Christ Jesus, he named him Christ Jesus. Jehovah who shall come, the one that saves, Jehovah saves, that's the one. Through Theomathos, via Theomathos, that means through the spiritual activating force of God.
This is a beautiful language. I look at this, the first chapter, the first verse in the book of Ephesians, and that just rattles around in my brain forever. Those words are so beautiful. I hope I can convey to you what they mean to me in the original language. Through the spiritual activating force of God. There are two spiritual activating forces in the world today. Darkness. What? Darkness. The author, spiritual activating force. Two of them. Why? Two spirits in the world today. The spirit of God and the spirit of Satan, the opponent. Two spiritual activation forces.
And remember, he's going to name them all in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, remember? He's going to talk about all the forces and the powers of the Antichrist and of the evil one. Who? The world grabbers. There's one word in there that means world grabbers.
That means
dictators.
That just grab power. And that are evil. And we see that in the world today. Betty was talking about terrorism in Oklahoma City where they blew up a building or something. Terrorism. These are world grabbers. These are assassins. Professional assassins in the world. They're here.
Who is their God? Who is the spiritual activating force behind them? Is it real?
Yeah.
Theomathos, spiritual activating will or force of the God to the ones not of the earth. That's what it says, to the ones not of this earth. And if in your translation it says probably saint. The word saint is hagio.
That's the word right there, hagio. And it comes from two words. Actually, there's a negative on the front, not, and the rest part of here is gay. Not of earth.
Ones not of this earth. When you're born again, are you born of the Spirit, and you're born from heaven? Okay. Not from this earth, you're born from heaven. You're not born of the dirt, in the dirt.
You were born that way once, weren't you? Born of the flesh of your parents that are of the earth. But when you're born again, you know, Jesus says, it's not good enough that you're born once, as it is, you must be born again. You must be born literally from a God. That's what it means. Born from above. And I think some places it translates it that way. It'll have it over there in the column beside it explaining it. Born from above. And those that are born from above are called Hagio. Are those not of the earth?
Once you were born of the earth, because I know that because you're here tonight. Thomas, I can see you back there, and I know that you're born into this world. I was talking on the radio, witnessing to a friend of mine down in Mexico on the way home today.
he was down there and he was really having a hard time, and he kind of rattled over when he got. But a guy got on there and insulted me, not meaningfully, but in gesture. And this man came to my rescue. He said, "That is a good man." He said, "He shares spiritual things with everybody all over the world. I dare you say something like that about him." Well, Greg came back there. Greg was really out in the quad. I don't know more than he got cancer. And he got a real bad rash of nothing ran out of the front of him and he ran over that morning. He was well traveled, very educated man. But I seen him tell me online this one time. He will follow me around sometimes and just listen to his teeth and just start to go away. Boy, he took me as his champion the other morning. He went in there and then Susan called me on the other radio, so I talked to her for a while. Back there, boy, he spread the bill right out. When poor Bill got through the bill, he conceded I was a nice guy. But you know what the Bible says is not good. He was the only real good one.
I've been wanting to share this with you for a long time. And the word in Ephesus, there, or in Ephesus, that's in brackets. And I said that to you last week. And the faithful ones. Now, not only do you, God draws out, he says, the holy ones, the ones born not of this earth, but some of God's children are faithful. Did you know that? Did you know that? The Bible is full of it. Sometimes God kills them because they're not faithful. Do you know that? You know what a hamartia is?
I'm going to tell you this word because you're going to hear it sometime. This word Marcy or Marcia means a party. That is all in all. You're a party. That is people are down in the back then, there's two spirits back there, you're lying there. And it's not arrogant. It's a party. A party. Little bullseye. Now this means to not mark. It means unmarked or unhit. A target that is not hit in the bullseye. And that's where we get our word sin from. Sin. Because we miss the mark. We can't hit the bullseye. Now that's it. Now, sometimes doctors and some Christian counselors and things, they use a term called homarchia genus. That means sin caused. Sin called illness, sin called death. Did you know that? The Bible is full of those things like that. From children of God that don't follow Him. Now it says here, to the holy ones of God, the ones not of the earth, and also the faithful ones. The faithful ones. The ones clinging to. There's a word here. Yeah, the word in Greek is pistios. It means to cling to hold on to. How many of you watch the Roadrunner and all those weird looking little comics? I know Eddie does that. He watches down and says, "Lord, my house, boy." He's had this little and he moves that all the way around. Anyway, you ever see those guys? One of them will, Roadrunner will run out there and he'll fall down over the cliff and he'll grab onto something and then the other guy, the coyote, just goes up and Cleo and the little old Roadrunner, he's hanging on for dear life there and he goes, he finds back up there. Hanging on, clinging for dear life. Well, those cartoon characters, when they run out there and get past the real terra firma, you know, the ground, they're out there in the air and they're going like this, going down to get back and they're not going anywhere. They're just out there just making it. Clinging to. So the faithful ones clinging to are literally in Christ Jesus.
That, to you, to me, is a beautiful verse. Grace to you and peace from God the Father of us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace. Well, there's not peace in this world. There isn't. There isn't peace in this world. Don't ever look for it because it's not here. But there can be peace in your spirit.
Can you imagine the Apostle Paul chained in a dungeon in a hole in the ground with cockroaches running around, bugs, smelling old place, hadn't been cleaned out in 150 years? But his spirit wasn't peace.
Sometimes you may just bite it off. Stephen says, forgive them for what they do.
It doesn't mean they'll save your life.
Oh, no, it doesn't mean they'll save your life. But you have to have peace in your heart. And that's spiritual peace. That don't have anything to do with the flesh. This old flesh, sometimes, you know, it's got to die.
It
doesn't mean it won't hurt. Oh, no, it won't hurt. You know? Sometimes I am trying to do something for the Lord. I don't know. Well, here comes the arrow, it's like, flying. Boy, they hurt the dark blue. But I just, you know, you just kind of take the field and get filled and put on the stick in. And they hurt. And there's more to that. The infirmities of the flesh, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. Timothy, you have stomach trouble all the time, evidently. And living over in that country, I was over there for a little short of a month, but I think you are. I can understand why they had trouble over there, because that food was like poison. The water is like poison. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, drink some of that water, it's just like somebody turned on the water as soon as you know it. Terrible. He told him to kill the dysentery bug, what he told him to. And he was kind of prone to that, evidently. That's what they used to kill the dysentery. I was over all through there, and I had to, boy, I thought I was going to die. They had given me shots and everything else. I went into the Jerusalem Hotel. Oh, my, 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 we have Paul say that to Timothy. Make a little wine until I come to that. I've done the Christian, not a drink. He's a different medicine man, a different piece of medicine. So he's off in a glass. He's drunk. So he can drink all of it before you. And I drank it. And you know what? I felt better than I ever come to. I'm not sure that I'm drunk. It's not even good at all. No, I felt better. But I know what Paul told Timothy. Take the medicine and call me in the morning.
You know, like the doctor said.
That's what he told me to do. Take the medicine. That's what they used for medicine back then. And it worked. I can tell you. I felt better. The next day I could eat. I lost about 20-something pounds. That was a bad, bad deal. 1 and 11. In whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, and worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, verse 10, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in
heaven.
Everything that God ever did was done through the merit and through the handiwork of Christ. Did you know that?
Okay.
I want you to know that the Christ that we worship is God. He's not a man that came on this earth and lived 33 and a half years and is real good. Jesus is and was God, and he always will be. Jesus walked with Abraham. Jesus walked in the garden with Adam. He did. With his pre-incarnate self, he did. Jesus is our God. And since the Apostle Paul's day, there have been false religions telling people that he is a good man, from either a man or an angel or something. Jesus was Jehovah God. That's who he was. That's who he is today. When you go to heaven, you're going to see Jesus. That's who the one God that you're going to fall down and worship. Remember that doubting Thomas? What did he say to him when Jesus said, "Here I am, I have arisen"? Look here, come here and stick your fingers in the holes in my hands and in my side, my feet. He said, "My Lord, my God, my Jehovah, my Elohim." That's what he said. "My Creator and my Savior." That's what he told him. And he worshiped him. And he did worship him.
If he wasn't God, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only." Is that what the Old Testament said? Jesus is and was God. He always will be. And every purpose, all the way from eternity in the past to eternity in the future, is tied up in Jesus Christ and what he did for this short period of time right here. Now, he created the heavens and the earth. Listening to a tape the other day by J.C. James, he said, "What did you hear?" This is about a 20-year-old tape, by the way. 25-year-old, something like that. He said, "Did you hear what they said the other day? They discovered that the universe was created all at once. In a big bang theory," is what they said. Well, if they hang around the heavens long enough and the millennium to make it there, and they believe in Christ, he's got his own teacher that he did back then. He spoke it into existence, and it happened suddenly all at once. He spoke it into existence. They say they have recorded the sound of creation. Did you know? They said that they recorded this bang. It's been banging around all through the universe for the sound. And things like that really do happen. I have been on the radio talking with radio waves and heard myself talking. Bouncing around coming back, and I hear myself talking at the end of my conversation. Some guys were talking one time back and forth to each other on Ribby. That's teletype. And they kept hearing two messages come. A mother message would come right after one other message, and this was recorded. And they recorded it. They didn't hear all that. You know what? If they really would only conceive, that is the voice of God creating, speaking, to create and being free. But he didn't do it in existence.
The Bible that you have is a library, isn't it? How many books is in the Bible that we have, canonized? How many?
66.
We have that many. They're very good. There may have been more, but we have everything that's important to tell you about whatever we need. And sometimes you'll read something about the lost books of the Bible. Don't worry about it. Everything that is absolutely necessary, God intervenes and makes sure that you have it. Here. Genesis through Revelation. How many writers were there in that wrote this? How many authors were there? How many authors? Linda. One author. How many writers? About 40. But there's one author. Who is the author of the book? That's right. Jesus said, "My word." Jesus was the author. He was the one.
that move them by way of the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, we studied about the creation of man, the creation of the universe, the creation of animals, creation of trees, and whatever. How long ago did God create the earth?
Does anybody know?
Huh?
I don't know. We know from the Bible that the original creation of God, how God created it, and something happened to it. There could have been a period of time there, of millions of years, or there could have been 5 minutes. Did you know that? It could have been millions of years, or it could have been 5 minutes. So God was in time doesn't matter anyway. God had a overseer over his earth. And just think of this. Yeah. A pastor is called an overseer. That's what it's called, an overseer, and that's literally what it means, episcopal. That means to overscope. To look over, to oversee the flock. When God created this earth, he put an overseer over it. That overseer was Lucifer. God rebuilt this earth, he put an overseer over it. That overseer was who? Huh? Mm-hmm. Who was it? Mm-hmm. After God rearranged this earth, who did he put over it as an overseer? Mm-hmm. What?
The devil.
No, he lost his job. He blew it. He got fired. He's going to get fired real good one of these days, too. Who took Satan's place? Lucifer's place. His name was Adam. Why do you think that Satan hated Adam so bad? Have you ever seen anybody that got fired from a job and the person that they hired? They were real jealous and real personal. What's that? He deserves to get fired here. He was a bad boy. Yeah, he deserves more than being fired. He's going to get fired real good. It's called the lake of fire. That burns forever and ever beyond coming out.
That's going to burn for eternity.
So, Adam was to be an episcopal, or a looker-over, of the earth, to watch it, to watch after, to be a caretaker of it. And then, he said, then God called out one man, so as to look over the earth and find some gopher wood, and build a big box that would float. Basically, that's what it was. And his name was Noah. Not only not the name of all these pieces of faith, but those of them that believe that the God is that all the pieces of faith can not hibernate to the rest of the night for a long time. For judgment for on the earth. So he was the Episcopal, the walker over of God. Then he lighted him on Mount Ararat, and mankind went out from there to the three races of man, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and they populated the whole world. And they were supposed to do something. They were supposed to walk down the earth and walk over it and be caretakers of it. And not to convince others to congregate in big cities. They were supposed to come spread out. And they didn't do it. They went up to the Tower of Babel. God confounded the language. There were 760 basic language tens and 2796 or something like that language. From that, and that doesn't mean all of it. That doesn't mean all. But he divided the earth into continents, and he divided the languages. We don't do it. And then he dialogued. If you're from the north, and you talk to somebody from the south and somebody from the west, even in the United States, sometimes you have a little trouble even hearing what they're saying. They try to understand the language. Especially down there in the old office, you hear something that's really bad.
It does that in many languages, in American Indian languages especially also.
They were very just the way you said it. Got very guttural, or palatal, or whatever. You know, it's a grunt or whatever. It's not making any difference.
Then God divided the earth and divided the continent. Then he called out a name for a people for his name's sake to say,
from the people of Shem. Shem means name. All right? And of those people, he called out Abraham, or Abraham after at that time. And Abraham was supposed to walk over the spirit of the name of God, called out. Then he had a son, he had a son, he had a son, and he called that nation Israel. So Israel was supposed to be either a picture of or an overseer of all the spiritual things of God to all the people on the earth. Think about that. Every time we have failed, then God does not fail us. He always works out another plan or improves our man working for us. Then, that didn't work either. So God called out his excellency, the one called out with authority. All right? The one called out with authority is the excellency. That's what I'm supposed to do. And then he put a picture of it over that. So it's a picture. You see that? Can you see that place of responsibility? Can you do things that God called his captain? You're supposed to look up to him. That's right. And he was an absolute officer. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look up to him. If they follow Jesus, we follow him. That's what we do. Yeah. And they are God's people. They are God's called people. The people. The people. The people. The only saved, God wants you to serve. Well, he wants you to serve.
After you're saved, God wants you to serve. The first thing you have to do is lend yourself to him.
Get your body in the right place. That means when you're church, you go there. Church services, get there. And that way you touch your body in the place now where God can use your head. He can pour things in there from his word that you can use and apply to your life and to your children's lives, to your friends' lives, and everything. And that's the way he works. That's his plan today. Now, a lot of people don't like that plan. That is too fast for that God.
That's just the way it is. We have to follow his plan. Yes. We don't have a better way. You ask somebody, well, I believe in God and everything, and I'm saved, so I worship him my way. That is no whole world. Yeah.
It's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to serve him and to help each other. We're to help each other and to follow our leader.
That's right. That's what we're to do. Follow the leader and help each other along the way of helping.
There were gifts placed in the FSA or the church. We're going to study them pretty soon. I think they were. My brain was not working too good, by the way. I had a low blood sugar a couple of days ago, and it's still scattered. My brain is still scattered. My blood was like California in the night. I don't think I had gathered all back up. I didn't know who I was, I don't think. I wasn't just sure if somebody were asking me my name. I don't know what I would have been able to give.
But that ain't one on for about $6, and I didn't do anything for it. I didn't have enough brains to even do anything for it. That was about that big. And, but we still couldn't help it. We scared and things. And these things happen to children of God, but you're not immune to it. You know, there's the preachers that have been drowned and skipped my life and run over my car. Children of God die every day, and that happens to you. That happens. We just run to roll with something. That's the way it is. You run to roll with it, whatever it is.
Well, I forgot where in the world I was.
Aiming for it. Try to keep it in mind. But God wants us to follow Him, His way. His way. It is, His way is the only way. There is no other way. And to talk to people and to deal with them and try to show them that that is the way that God has a plan for your life. It's not for Linda's life, it's not for Ed's life, it's not just for Betty, not just for me, it's for all of us. He throws it all out there and says, now there's an ecclesia in Fish Lake Valley, this is where I want you to serve me if you want to serve me. That's where it is. It's close, I guess. Linda.
I was thinking of a video I now have of Ukraine Memorial video. I want it to be calling the people to service. And it says, this generation of believers is responsible for the generation of people. Mm-hmm. And we are accountable to spread the business.
We are accountable for it. And just think of it now. Your life, see the blackboard here? Now, there's close to 6,000 years from here to here. That's not including eternity. Then we got a couple, what? 4,000. There's a couple more thousand years here. 4,000 and... about, that's 6,000 years. There's a lot of people that live in those 6,000 years. Can you name me anyone that lives there? Can you give me some names of someone? How many can you name out of a billion that have lived? If you're on this earth, don't live for yourself only. That's not what God tells you to do. You're wasting your life if you are. If you live for yourself only, you have wasted your time. You just, your life is, like the Bible says, it's over. Like James says, it's vapor. It's like a drop in the ocean that is vaporized. It's nothing. Here is all these millions of people. There is. Jim Phillips, right up there, that box. Hope I leave something in this prayer for God. Your whole plan and desire and living should be to glorify God and to leave something in this prayer to make it a better place than what it was before you came. To be an asset, to breathe up good air. If you're worthy of breathing up good air, be something in this world. I took it from an old fellow for a month. He was a character. He's still alive, by the way. He has not read a book or anything. I hope he's doing okay. He was out doing some mission work someplace in Arizona, New Mexico, and had a store for him out there. They gathered him up to the Nassau, Arkansas. And evidently he's doing okay. But he used to say, some people just bring that good. That's not only that, that means a lot. A lot of people get through that river. Betty and I were talking about this person or persons that blew up a building in Oklahoma. Federal building in Oklahoma. Those people are breathing up good air. They don't know. They killed a lot of the people. Yeah. But they're actively not related to God. Ungodly That's what it means.
Ungodly. Actively not related to God. Actively not related to God. Ungodly acts, it says, in the last days of people. To be proud to say that I am not related to God. They will shake their fists at their maker. And it says in the book of Revelation, and other places in the Bible, that after Satan goes out here and gathers this bunch of idiots together, that's right what they are. You know what an idiot is? It comes from the Greek word idios.
Anybody but me.
When a child is born into this world, it's me. Nothing else matters to them except their comfort and their own way. What you have to do is to teach that child not to be an idiot. Right? Me. That's right. You teach a child not to be an idiot. I tell Thomas sometimes, Thomas, don't be an idiot.
You have to remember that
God's rest. Yes, we are children, but in every way, we are, God desires that we are not idiots. And that's what this word means. It means to be so selfish that you don't think about anyone but yourself. Idiot.
Idiomatic. You're only worried about your own philosophy, your own way. A little child is supposed to grow past that, isn't it? It's supposed to start learning to love its mother and mother and father, and then it learns to love its friends as it gets older, as it starts maturing. We have people that are idiots that are 40 years old and have never grown up. They only worry about me. I had a lot of trouble with Dakota.
Me, why?
But how many people have grown up 40 and 50 and 60 years old says, mine, me.
Don't be an idiot. Grow up. Learn to give. Learn to share your life with others. Because that is a sign of maturity. It's not only a sign of physical and mental health security.
Basically, even lost people try to teach their children to love them and to love their family, don't they? That's a normal thing for people to do. And then children of God are supposed to love the family of God, aren't they? And the church family, wherever they are. We're to love one another. Sometimes that's a chore. Husbands are to love their wives. Sometimes that's a chore. That's right. But the Bible tells us to do it, love them when they're unlovable.
I never read that verse.
Oh, that's fair. You have practice, you know.
It doesn't say love them when they're unlovable.
Love them, even when they're unlovable.
Yeah.
Love them, treat them kind. You know, it says in the Bible that even a father loves his own child. That's no affection. That's normal. God wants us to be that normal. He wants us to love one another out here in the world. We go out and our desire, like Eddie says, is to get someone in this valley saved that is so honest that it's going to turn the rest of them around. Get one of the bad ones. Like that preacher did back there that got hooked all the time. Remember I told you about him? He got a hooking every time this old boy saw him. He just whooped him. He loved to beat up the preacher. This back in the colonial days here when this country was becoming a nation, they accused him of being a spy. We're going to hang him or shoot him, one or the other. That preacher rode horseback for 200 miles in the wintertime to testify for this man. And he was his dire enemy. He beat him up. He said, what are you doing here, preacher? This guy beat you up? Everybody heard about this all over the three states. You got blessed every time he comes around.
Yeah, that's right. What are you doing here? Good man, isn't it?
Well, if we hang him or shoot him, he's not going to beat up on me anymore.
That's right. So I would be going on because this guy's a bad guy. But he's not guilty of what you have to do. You're only convinced for so that's what he did. But he got killed, and he's going to beat it himself. He was so surprised. The Holy Spirit is the one who did it. God's Holy Spirit.
I know
he
that.
Uses the action of others.
But I really believe in that particular story is a perfect example of what our calling really is. It's to love people. That man showed and expressed love for that man beyond the grave.
He was, first of all, showing love and justice. He knew the man wasn't guilty. He could have been very easy. You know, remember this guy who used to beat you up all the time, remember? Back there in Minnesota, wasn't it? You think about him, Mark. This guy beat up this picture all the time. I'm sure he's not going to come talking about it. But he wanted to save me. And he made a real good deacon after that. Before that, he wasn't worth a dime. He was breathing enough to go into air before. Some of these people that are breathing enough good air in this valley, we could, maybe through our influence and through our witness, maybe they would become a productive child of God. You do? You do?
Well,
God desires us to be saved when we're young, so we don't have to go through all of that, but God's Holy Spirit always works with us from the day that we come to the age of accountability, and sometimes I think even before it. Every time you hear the gospel, or even when you don't hear it, and you do something wrong, or you feel wrong done, God's Holy Spirit works on you. Because he doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want people to go to hell. God died for your sin. So he paid the debt that you might have life. Okay. He paid the debt that you might have life. God came down to this earth and lived for you and paid your penalty. Died on the cross, even the cross. Died to death, even the cross. The death of the cross.
Okay, Jesus came, he lived. And what were some of the things that he did while he was here? In Colossians 2, 14 through 17, turn there. Says in here, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What's it talking about?
What did he nail? The handwriting of ordinances. What was it?
Blotting out the handwriting and ordinance that was against us. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's
donkey.
Are his wife? Are his chicken? Are his turtle? Are his goose? Are his duck? Are his beautiful green field? Are his grapes? Are his vineyard? You shall not covet those things. That handwriting gets us. How many times have you ever gone to somebody's house and they have something that you wanted so bad forward to have? Just covet it. He goes. And he would like to have a good part on all the time. Like to have a house and you shut the door with them. Tell them to stay out. The wind and the mice and the bugs and whatever. If you had a nice pair of shoes put on your feet to keep your feet comfortable. Clothes on your back. How about if you look at somebody wrong with that handsome back there? I wish I was pretty out there. I wish my hair was out there, man. I wish I did have hair,
What happened?
I wish I had brown hair. I wish my hair was black. And then you go change it. No. Well, don't we? Don't we?
I wish my hair was gray.
Oh, that's something happens, you know. God, that's a reflective, right? He is when you get old. You can't take tea anymore, changes your hair, so it doesn't draw all that tea. Look at the good side.
You know, God said in everything good things, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He has changed our perspective as Christians to a different attitude. Rather than coveting, we should have an attitude of being thankful. You know, maybe there's a leak around the door over there, but then that he's thankful that the roof still stayed on, you know.
That most of the snow stayed out.
But I was sitting next to a man just a couple days ago that he's really bald. And I looked at him and I thought, you know, there's something new about being bald. He doesn't have anything. You know, we could be thankful for all different kinds of things.
All things, and I've always been, ever since I was about 20 something years old, I was called to be happy. I always looked at people from all types of people in the world. Then you have told the people from all different types. I know one girl that's so cute that she has to stand quiet for most girls. She's always wanting to eat. She's always had an eating problem. She can't eat enough food.
Like everybody else does. But I'm so skinny.
And she felt so self-conscious. But we have to be satisfied with the way God makes it. If your eyes are brown, you can think, well, thank you, Lord, my eyes are brown. But they're blue.
Thank you,
Lord. Or black.
No.
But all of
been in our weaknesses, he is in his strength. As we deal with those areas in our life that will be over to him, they become the areas of us that he needs to minister to other people, help it grow with them, help it heal, help it. That old, and the quality, and the quality. I have a few of you run into some teenage boy, some pre-puberty teenage boy that's just been moaning his lips. You know, and
yeah, I'm glad it's the best.
You can have compassion on somebody.
Yeah.
You really can. and through the trials and tribulations of this life. God doesn't allow us to go through them just for no reason. He says that he takes what faith and him for evil and
sometimes he wins. Yeah, and he can. I try to think of that when I don't feel good. I guess it's got to be good for me somewhere or another.
One of my best times of growing in the Lord was the time that he knocked my face because I had pneumonia and couldn't get out of bed. But I fought on the Lord and meditated on the Lord and read my Bible and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed.
I was flat on my back for almost 2 years on time. I've been very active all my life. And I got hurt real bad. And I couldn't work anymore, and it just had to kill me. I lost everything I had. Everything. Didn't have anything left. Didn't even have a house over my head. My mother gave me a place to stay. And I spent about 2.5-3 years into this word. Some people go, how do you learn Greek? I spent all of my time, I spent sometimes 48 hours in a row without ever getting out of my little chair except to get up and go to the bathroom and get a drink. Because I wouldn't know what I know about the Lord to share with others now if it hadn't been for that time.
I look at the book of James in chapter 1 with a totally different perspective one, where it says, knowing that the sign of your faith is patience, and patience, working hope, and hope, which is eternal life. And it says, and let patience have her perfect work. And it's all what you do with what you do.
You know, if you say, Lord, me, kind of like
moaning and groaning and
self-pitying, you think you're going to get out of it. I don't even know how to isometric yourself. It's an exercise. It's an exercise where you don't move anything. It's an exercise where you strain against something. You put a bar up here, you just push against that bar. It's stationary. You just push against it. They say you build tremendous strength by doing that. Not weighing anything, you're not picking up 100 pounds, but you're pushing as hard as you can there for like a minute, a 30 seconds. You're pulling as hard as you can for this length of time. Or you're, whatever you do, you're cutting your hands, you're cutting against the wall, and you're pushing as hard as you push as you are. Not moving the wall. And when you go out, your arms are loaded up. I don't want you to go down there.
Yeah.
That's called isometric.